You are now tuned into CoinMint's official channel, and we welcome you to the big picture. Hosted by CoinMint's very own, this is the podcast where our experts dissect the nuances of all that matters for doing business in India.
Hi Shrey, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Very well. Thank you so much for taking out the time joining us. So, as one of the couple of things that I wanted to discuss with you today, especially given the entire movement that we have right now in India with respect to how the government is trying to push on manufacturing in India, it's trying to push with initiatives related to ease of doing business. So yes, a lot of measures are being taken, especially given with the jump in rankings, World Bank's index. But from a more ground reality point of view, what's really happening in the field? Given the work that you do, and you directly work with these businesses, especially foreign companies setting up in India, have you seen a change? So there are two aspects to the change, right? One is actually from a business point of view with respect to how the companies are doing it. And the second is a perception. Has it also impacted a perception towards India as a market?
So, with this new government, again taking charge last year, and the agenda of the government has always been to promote business in India, especially the manufacturing sector, which again, you know, forms the backbone of any economy, including the Indian economy. So, the agenda of the government has always been to support the manufacturing companies. With the recent banking reforms also that have taken place, you know, loans to SMEs more freely given, as against, maybe a decade ago wherein, there were a lot of formalities and other issues involved in, in loans.
So this aspect, there are from a compliance point of view, with respect to banking of SME companies, there has been a change here.
Yeah, so the change has been with regard to the policy. The change has been, government has set up special desks in all the banks, which take care of these SME bankings, to ensure that, the funds are given to the SMEs in order to ensure that, the SMEs are able to run their businesses. Though similar changes were also expected in large manufacturing concerns, where you have huge project fundings, of a size of, maybe 1 billion or maybe more than that. Similar reforms were expected. But obviously, with all that, which we have seen, over the past decade, again, there have been a lot of big accounts going NPAs. Then, with the increase in banking frauds, so that has not yet come into place. But we are very hopeful that the government is working towards these things and will obviously make way, for finance to flow freely to even, these large corporates. So again, given that obviously funding from India has been slow, but reforms have taken place, FDI guidelines and ECB guidelines have been eased out, to make sure that there is no problem in getting the financing from outside India. Financing from outside India is relatively cheaper compared to the financing in India, though it requires the payment to be in foreign currency, which obviously averages out, and maybe the finance cost almost ties up to the finance cost which the businesses have in India. But at least businesses are able to get the foreign fundings, be it in the form of FDI or be it in the form of ECB. And obviously, with the taxation reforms that have taken place, if I talk about the budget that was announced on February 1st, the sunset clause for ECB funding, the withholding tax on the interest paid on ECB funding, that has been again further extended by 3 years. So these are all positive measures by the government, given that funding from the Indian banks has been slow to at least the large corporates. But at least we are seeing positive movements from a FDI and an ECB perspective.
And are these translating into action from, say, foreign investors? Are they actually picking up on the proactivity of the government?
Well, foreign investors have always been very positive about the Indian economy. Indian economy being, one of the most, I would say, a dynamic economy. Of late, our Indian economy, the growth rate projected in the GDP is probably the highest, I would say, if not the highest, but at least, you know, more than the global growth in the GDP. Given that, you know, foreign investors have been positive, though there have been few bumps, by way of, again, tax reforms that were made maybe last year, you know, or last to last year for taxing long-term capital gains on listed shares. So all those measures have, though, given a setback to the foreign investors, but, you know, by and large, the foreign investors are positive on the Indian market. And, you know, even talking on real terms, we are seeing funding coming from outside India. We are seeing people, you know, from outside India who are willing to invest in India, not just, you know, to exploit the Indian market for exporting goods from their country to India, but also manufacturing in India and then selling in India.
And with respect to how these companies are kind of structured, there is also, if I remember correctly, the budget had proposed amendments regarding the residency of its directors, right? So how do you see this kind of impacting the business?
Well, you know, the finance minister has in the budget, you know, mentioned the change in the residency provision to be an anti-abuse measure, you know.
Can you explain that?
Yeah, so, you know, earlier, whenever, you know, there's a person of an Indian origin and a person of Indian origin staying abroad and they used to visit India. So they, if they do not stay in India for a period of 182 days, they would not become a resident in India. So now the threshold for 182 days has now been reduced to 120 days. So this, you know, the government perceives this to be an anti-abuse measure. You know, the point the government made in the budget was that, you know, people plan their visit in such a way that they do not stay in India for 182 days and thereby they do not get taxed in India or liable to be taxed in India. So now this this particular limit of number of days of stay in India has been reduced to 120 days. This would impact a lot of Indian origin people who are staying abroad and who were visiting visiting India frequently for any reason, be it an official reason or be it a personal reason. So obviously this would impact now, you know, their wish to travel India and obviously, you know, travel India and then stay in India for a longer period. So all in all, you know, these change in the residency provisions, these from an industry perspective, these are not seen very positively. But I think government has a point in making the change. So similar change has also been made again, you know, in another residency provision for the individuals, wherein, you know, where a person is not liable to be taxed in any other country and the person holds an Indian passport. So he would become a resident in India and he would be liable to be taxed in India. So again, this is again an anti-abuse measure that has been included in this year's budget proposal. So obviously, you know, time would tell how these would impact the persons who are staying abroad, persons of Indian origin. And obviously, you know, with all with the increase in tax rate last year, you would see many Indian origin people going outside India and, you know, settling abroad. So probably, you know, this would pave more way for, you know, for more litigation. So
you mentioned one very interesting aspect, and this is changing direction of our conversation about Indians moving outside the country to stay. One aspect that has consistently been the trend is that Indians have moved outside the country to study further for higher studies. And consequently, yes, of course, they settle out and pretty much that's it. Which brings me to the topic about education. You do work, from what I understand, you do actually work with a lot of companies in the education space and the not-for-profit space in that right. sense. There is an education bill in the works. Because you're in the field, let's park the bill. But if you had to say that these are things that you could look forward to or expect from an education bill, speaking on behalf of probably the companies that you work with or the organizations you work with, what would that be?
From an education bill perspective, you know, obviously, you know, these days what we are seeing is, you know, there has been a traverse from the from our conventional CBSE boards to international boards. So, you know, obviously education sector is one of the keys, you know, not just a sector. Yeah. And, you know, there's more of a social area for the government to work upon. And, you know, government has time and again set measures, you know, to probably, you know, encourage people to work more in the education space. So, you know, from an education bill, obviously, and with the recent traverse from, you know, from our conventional CBSE boards to international boards, so, you know, very soon we would be, you know, looking at, you know, many private universities or, you know, private universities which are, you know, affiliated to foreign universities. And, you know, to ensure ensure that, you know, our children, you know, who study in those international board schools in India do not have to go abroad to, you know, to foreign universities to study, to pursue their higher education. Maybe, you know, they would get good education in India, you know, to with the universities which are affiliated to those foreign universities, and, you know, the education that would be provided to them would be at par. So, you know, we could see, you know, something happening on that front. You know, we though have separate acts, you know, separate state acts, you know, in each of the state for these private universities. We would very soon be seeing those private universities, you know, affiliated to foreign boards and foreign universities and giving education in India to children, you know.
So what I'm gathering is that one big, if I can call it that, one big expectation from the education bill would be aspects related to quality.
Right.
Okay. So I'm going to go back now to our previous discussion. Sorry for the digression. Another major reform that kind of happened somewhere last year was the cut in corporate tax rate, right? Especially for new companies entering the manufacturing space after a certain date. Has this, in the real world, aside from being on paper, being a very good thought and, you know, provision, has this resulted in, again, like I said, action from companies investing into India?
Well, yeah, you know, we were previously, you know, seeing companies who were manufacturing abroad and then, you know, they were exporting their goods to India, maybe, you know, for a slight manufacturing process or, you know, last step manufacturing process or an assembly function. But, you know, with the recent change and, you know, the corporate tax has now been brought, you know, to the level, you know, which probably is the lowest or, you know, lowest in Asia. Yeah. So obviously, you know, this has been brought to that level and, you know, this would encourage corporates, at least, you know, the big business houses of foreign countries to, you know, to start setting up units in India to manufacture and, you know, to obviously reap the benefits of this lower corporate tax rate. Given that, you know, tax is only one of the factors which the you know, a foreign corporate would look at. There are other factors, you know, obviously with an unstable environment or an unstable, you know, policies to boost the manufacturing ecosystem, obviously a foreign investor would not be able to thrive or would not be able to get the benefit of his investment. So, you know, this is the other aspect that the government should look at. Obviously, you know, with the Make in India scheme of the government, this has been looked to an extent. But again, you know, the quality or the benefits of those Make in India scheme have still not been able to get the desired results which they were expected to achieve. So, you know, with all those, you know, files being blocked with the bureaucrats, and, you know, this is the major hurdle which a foreign investor faces these days. So this is something, you know, which,
sorry, so aside from, so like you said, there is one big key aspect is policy uncertainty, right? The other is the red tapeism that has been, I mean, we have been rather infamous for. Aside from this, with the conversations that you have with foreign companies, have other challenges been dominant aside from these?
Yeah, to an extent, yeah. So, you know, as I mentioned, you know, tax is only one of the major, one of the factors. No, I wouldn't say that's one of the major factors, but that's one of the factors. The other factors, you know, obviously ease in doing business, you know, policy certainty. So all those, you know, to our understanding, they constitute a much, or they have a much bigger impact, you know, on a foreign company making a decision of setting up a manufacturing unit or any business in India. So that, you know, is obviously one of the key factors. And obviously, you know, whenever a foreign investor is setting up a manufacturing unit in India, which obviously involves a huge investment, and a one-time investment. And obviously, you know, that investment may, in most of the cases, may be an irreversible investment. So obviously, you know, a foreign investor would want a very conducive environment to work in. So tax, one of the factors, though that has been worked on by the government, but the other factors still need to be worked on.
Amongst, let's call it a challenge, or more than a challenge, it's a factor to doing business in India. One of the reasons why they even consider India in the first place is the low cost of labor. At the same time, there is a certain skilling of the labor that is a concern for in most cases, especially because there is a technological gap when you're talking about companies from developed economies setting up operations in India. There is a technological gap, and that's one of the reasons also why Indian companies get into joint ventures with foreign companies. This is an issue, the skilling of labor. And the government is running a campaign, Skill India, again, where it's about, you know, the skilling of labor across the country. In fact, not just in India, but also from an outsourcing manpower solution point of view. But has it ever come up in conversations that do companies face this problem?
Labor, no doubt, is comparatively cheaper in India, you know, compared to the other, I would say, the developed countries of Asia. But, you know, the biggest challenge, and obviously, you know, these days we do not have much of a labor intensive industries being set up. Now, these days, you know, the focus is more on a brand name, you know, than more, you know, on your knowledge, on your technology. Now, you know, foreign company being a being the owner of an IPR, so obviously, you know, whenever it would set up a unit anywhere, you know, not just in India, be it any country, be it Bangladesh or be it Vietnam, so obviously the knowledge, the IPR would always stay with the foreign company. So labor though is cheaper, but the important point, you know, that obviously the foreign company looks at is obviously, you know, also the technical expertise and, you know, the ability of those labor to deal with that IPR and to work on that IPR, which, you know, labor in India, you know, more of a mechanical labor may or may not be able to work. And again, you know, that would require training from the foreign company, you know, by again deputing its employees to India, and then training the Indian employees, training the Indian labor to, you know, to use that IPR. So that's again a factor that comes into the picture.
Okay, Shrey, it has been very nice. Before I let you go, one last question, and this is a completely a personal opinion. Given where we are, there is a vision and a dream of a 5 trillion economy right now, and from where we are to reach this goal 3 or 5 years down the line, what do you think would be a good way for us to kind of progress? One is, like we just discussed, there's a certain technological gap for the advancement of the economy. With the a bigger infusion and, you know, involvement of foreign participation or more homegrown companies?
Well, you know, it has to be a mix of both. You know, Indian companies, I would say, you know, they're not, you know, many Indian companies which have an IPR, and you know that IPR has a global visibility. You name a brand, from the brands, you know, which we use in our daily lives, you know, most of the brands, you know, are owned by foreign companies, not by Indian companies. So, you know, this is one of the major factors which obviously comes in the way of, you know, of government focusing only on the homegrown industries and not allowing the foreign companies to enter, or maybe, you know, regulating more the foreign companies than the homegrown companies. So obviously it has to be a mix of both. Given that, you know, the other thing, you know, that needs to be worked on is obviously, you know, the kind of regulations obviously which the government has in place. Not just from a tax perspective, or, you know, or from other administrative perspectives, you know, those also need to be mellowed down to an extent so as to, you know, make some space, you know, for the businesses to thrive. You know, major big industries which we see today in India, you know, they are majorly on survival mode. You know, we see real estate, we see, an infrastructure, we see a banking sector. These industries are majorly on a survival mode. They're critical. They hold the backbone of the Indian economy. So, you know, you need to, you know, just give them more space so as to, you know, they can thrive and they can survive and maybe, you know, they can prosper in a much better fashion.